Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Elliot Rowe, and today we had an awesome conversation where we spoke about hypnosis and how that could potentially be used to help people improve their sleep, whether sleep anxiety, kind of sleep pressure, but also getting at the root cause of some trauma that might be there, that or things that might be a blind spot in the space for you in areas of your life that then are creating some circular thinking or rumination that then seems to be either keeping you awake with an inability to fall asleep or to stay asleep. So today, my guest, Elliot Rowe, is going to really help us understand, one, a bit more about this modality and how this could be not just something that happens up on a stage and with theatrics, but really a real studied area with science-backed place to stand of how you can actually have a new modality to look at making a difference in this area of your life. But a little bit about Elliot. He is the leading expert in mindset optimization for high performers and is the world's number one mindset coach for poker players. In just the last 3 years, his poker clients have won over $50 million in nearly every major tournament title, including the World Series of Poker, main event. His clientele also includes Olympic medalists, UFC champions, Hollywood actors, business executives, and Wall Street traders. His unique mindset coaching system leverages the power of hypnotherapy to eliminate fears and break through mental roadblocks, allowing you to operate in a state of peak performance every single day. Let's jump into the podcast. Now, before we get into the podcast, I do want to take a quick minute to give a shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp, or as I like to call it, a therapist in your pocket. It's the exact app that I used when I was going through my really challenging period of insomnia while traveling overseas. And the ability to maintain a consistent therapist in real life was just really not an option for me since we were jumping around from country to country. So the ability to, with using my phone, have video calls weekly with my therapist, I was paired with I connected with a great therapist right off the bat, but I do know other people who have been able to kind of shop around with some of the therapists on that app until they find a great fit for them. And in between those calls, one of the things that I found was really helpful is that you can also send voice notes, text messages, images in between that, you know, longer weekly video call so that you do have this really very real ongoing connection and support that I certainly, at least in my experience, hadn't felt with real life therapists that I had used in the past. And also the pricing structure is much more competitive than a lot of the real life therapists that you can come into contact with. So I found it to be a lot of benefits. I recommend it to a lot of people that are just kind of going through struggles in their life or just simply want to be able to up level and bring in that level of reflection and awareness into their life about what's both working and not working. And you can certainly cancel at any time. And for our sleepy community, the BetterHelp company has hooked us up with 10% off. If you go to betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill, again, betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. And one quick shout out, if you're listening to this podcast, it's likely that you consider yourself a bit of a biohacker or just curious about how to influence your own biology. So if you're looking for other ways to further that information, wanted to share with you something coming up called the Biohacking Congress, which is running in Miami on October 16th through the 17th. You can join in person or live stream. I will be there. I will be podcasting live. I have no financial affiliation with Biohacking Congress, but I am excited about it. It's going to be a life-changing weekend. I went to one of the last ones in March of 2021, and it was fantastic. There's going to be 25 plus world-known speakers on biohacking, 20 plus health companies, digital health devices, tons of things going on, thousands of online guests or 1,000 plus online guests. And they are offering a promo code to listeners of HACK50 to get 50% off either on-site or live stream admissions. Again, no financial affiliation with Biohacking Congress, but they are a nice resource at a fairly affordable price to be able to learn more about this process of up-leveling your biology. And you can purchase those tickets at biohackingcongress.com. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. My guest today is Elliot Rowe, and I could not be more excited to have this conversation for a couple of reasons. One, we've never really, you know, dived into this topic of hypnosis, and it's obviously a big category, and there's a lot that we can, you know, touch on here. But this is our first time doing this on the Sleep is a Skill podcast. And more than that, having a guest like Elliot is really exciting. He's actually been someone that's guided me on my own hypnosis, you know, where I was quite emotional unexpectedly throughout the whole thing. I like to think of myself as someone that, you know, doesn't cry so often. I was crying like multiple times and left my, you know, that session feeling this whole sense of, wow, what just happened? I need to explore more of this. This could be such a powerful medium. So without further ado, thank you, Elliot, for taking the time to be here.
Hey, thanks, Juan. And thanks, what an intro. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, more to come because, yeah, that was absolutely, as you know, and I shared with you following that, that was just so, it was just a tremendous experience in my life. And I've certainly raved about it to other people since then. But so I think this can be a great place to start is one, just sharing a little bit about you, how you got into this world of really helping to guide people in hypnosis. And really you've brought this to such a powerful level that has changed so many people's lives and made them such high performers doing incredible things out in the world. So tell us a little bit about how this all came to be.
Yeah, well, I really am a sort of a high performance coach, working with people, trying to reach the top of their industry. And my modality is hypnotherapy. And what happened was that, I guess, I mean, about 15 years ago now, through childhood and my early 20s, I had a horrific fear of flying. So I literally refused some trips to America when I was younger. And short haul trips were incredibly difficult for me. So I would worry for 2 weeks before I got on the flight. I'd go on holiday for a week. I'd worry the whole holiday and then I'd fly home. And that was my experience of flying and my experience of travel. Someone recommended a hypnotherapist and she managed to resolve it in an hour. And I mean, that wow. changed my life from a flying perspective, but it also changed the trajectory of my life. And the reason it was so interesting to me is because, one, I was skeptical, and I would assume almost everyone listening to this who hasn't worked with a hypnotherapist yet is skeptical. That's certainly how I was as well. Went into this session, got very relaxed, which is like a guided meditation. And then it started up bringing up memories from my past around flying and why it'd be stressful. She came to a memory of me being a small child, seeing a picture of a plane, like a small plane on my wall at my granddad's house, and my mom telling me that it had crashed and killed his business partner. Mm. So small child decides that planes are really scary. So it made sense as to why this narrative was there. So we worked through the emotions of that, came out of the session feeling different. But what was most interesting to me is that wasn't something I consciously remembered prior to going into the session. So there was this memory that I wasn't aware of. I went and spoke to my mom and she told me that, yes, that was real. That happened. So I had a memory that had come up that I wasn't aware of that completely explained why I had an irrational fear of flying. And from then, I was comfortable flying. Still wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but sure. Travel the world now, enjoy flying pretty much. Like it just changed my ability to travel. From that, decided to go and get trained as a hypnotherapist because I found it so interesting. And I thought it would be sort of a bit of a side hobby for friends and family. Like, oh, you're scared of spiders. Let me try and fix you. Sort of
yes.
And the thing is, it just went really well. So I was working with friends and family and they'd say, oh, can you work with my friend? And can you work with my friend? And can you work with my friend? And it reached the stage where I was in solar energy investments at the time. And I was really enjoying the hypnotherapy and I wasn't enjoying the other work. And I just decided to make the leap and say, hey, this is a new direction for me. And then from there, I started working with high performers in different industries. So I started working professional poker players, and that went incredibly well. They've made over 150 million now, the guys working with me. So really extreme success. And then I've worked with some UFC champions, some Olympians. I work with traders on Wall Street, CEOs of companies. So each year it's sort of leveled up over the last decade, where now I'm lucky enough to work with these very high performers in different industries, still using this process of helping them understand and unpack their past so that they can live a better life and reach their full potential.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had the privilege to speak to some of the people that have worked with you, and just some of the things that they've said have just been remarkable of the difference that, you know, it's made in their life. You know, so if anyone has any doubt of the ability for something like this, of, you know, hypnotherapy to really make that lasting difference, I mean, one of the things that's so impactful is on your site, your success page of all these kind of differences of, you know, people's before and after. It's like crazy. Some of these, you know, names that everyone knows just doing incredible things. So having that in the background is huge. And I do think it's starting to get even more of this sort of academic backing, which is exciting, with more and more studies pointing to this effectiveness and this ability to kind of target areas of trauma with a specificity that might be lacking in some other modalities to deal with kind of either really point, you know, things that you can point to, like what you shared about fears of flying. I'm sure people listening might have certain fears like that. Might even be, you know, when I was dealing with my stuff with my sleep, there was an element of just such anxiety around the concept of even the nighttime and sleep and all that brought up. You know, there might be layering of all of these different things, but this ability to go in with this clarity can be really huge. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about what that looks like and how, in particular, if you've seen case studies of people that had some of that difficulty with their sleep and how that applied with hypnosis.
Yeah. So the work that I do is generally around someone is aware of somewhere in their life where logically they know what they should be doing or what should be happening, and they're not able to follow that logic.
Yeah.
So if they were looking in from the outside, they could tell someone else what to do, but they're just not able to do it themselves.
Implement, sure.
Yeah. And really what we're looking for is why the subconscious is guiding them in that way. So what's happened that their subconscious, usually it's their belief they're keeping them safe. Your subconscious believes it's keeping you safe. So it's making you do something that to the outside world and to yourself seems irrational. So this can be fear of failure, fear of success, different types of self-sabotage, just to hold you back because it feels safer being held where you are. Now, when this comes to sleep, we get a lot of people who ruminate. Yeah. So they get very stressed, they get very frustrated, and then they ruminate on a specific issue. And where hypnotherapy is useful is that you can target that specific anxiety. So hypnotherapy is not like stage shows. It's not like TV. So it's not snapping fingers and someone collapses and they wake up all better. It's like a guided meditation that instead of with meditation, as thoughts come in, you're sort of releasing the thoughts and bringing yourself back to your breath. That's typical mindfulness meditation, sort of back to the breath. Instead with hypnotherapy, we're looking to focus in all of your attention on a specific feeling. So it's like it's more of an increased focus rather than a letting go. And when we do that, so let's say it's an anxiety issue, someone's struggling with their sleep. So every time it gets close to the evening, they have their anxiety flares up and they have this sickness in their stomach or their chest. We'll be focusing in intensely on that feeling and then connecting it back to where that's coming from. So your body's generating that feeling for a reason. It understands why it's there. And ironically, the more extreme the reaction, typically the easier it is to find the root cause. Because your subconscious really knows. I mean, my subconscious knew exactly why I was scared of flying.
Sure.
Because it had such a strong response to it. And it's the same, you know, if someone is really struggling with anxiety at night, it will usually throw up these memories that explain that. You know, where this fear is coming from, why this is so scary. And sometimes there's a secondary gain. So, you know, if you can't sleep at night, then maybe you're failing at your job because you can't sleep. It's a good excuse for the ego, rather than you're not very good at your job. So some people will actually create these types of issues because it gives their ego a get out of jail free card. So, you know, hey, don't worry, it's not me, it's my sleeping issue.
Oh, 100%.
So sometimes we're sort of unwinding these sorts of ego things that are going on as well and saying, hey, you know, why don't we have a growth mindset about this? And it's not that the person's consciously thinking these things, but it will start showing up in the sessions as their subconscious is more dominant than their conscious mind.
No, and I appreciate that too, because sometimes that can be that what feels like a bad news insight on the front end of, you know, that there's some benefits or payoffs to certain ways of being, that like why we're keeping these things around. I know that was certainly an element for what happened for me with my sleep. You know, some of the payoff for me was that I didn't have to be responsible for some of these things that weren't going well in my life. Now I had this out. I'm not to put things onto particular people and, you know, but it could be something to really explore, that there can be a layered experience here. And that was absolutely a big part of the breakthrough for me, was start to get responsible for my life and all the things that were not working in the way that I wanted them to. And that ability to go in there with, you know, versus I think, you know, having that in the background, if I might've gone into something like that and during that period, it might've been with more velocity to work through that than some of the, you know, floundering around that I experienced. So that can be really powerful for people. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. Secondary gains are a real thing. And it's a case of this sort of exploration of understanding, you know, where are these issues coming from? What's actually holding the sleep back? And obviously I only work on the mindset side. If there are physiological issues, you know, that's for the doctor.
Yes. But
if the doctor's saying, hey, you know, you're physically, you're fine, you should be sleeping. And it's a rumination or an anxiety or a frustration that's keeping you up at night. That's the sort of time that speaking to a hypnotherapist might be very useful to try.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've seen for some people the benefits of all of these things in tandem. So even if they are dealing with, you know, I have a client now that's dealing with stage 4 cancer and, you know, some of the issues that are coming about with that. And then to even have layered in some of these different modalities to help work on, you know, the psychological impact that that can have and how that can all work into sleep, having, you know, kind of this team around us can make a big difference. So really good points there. And to that topic, are there particular things? Now, I know you mentioned rumination, circular thinking. I know you've kind of spoken to too. Is that something that you find that can be, in your experience, is that something where people should expect that that would take multiple times to work through? I know it's a case by case basis, but are there cases where, oh, okay, just a couple sessions and you're good? Or should you expect to do this ongoingly? What does this all look like for people to start diving into this?
I mean, it's something where hypnotherapy can be very fast. Typically, it's fast compared to a talking therapy. It's more intense. But in terms of numbers, it varies from person to person. When I'm working with clients, I don't really work specifically with sleep. I'm working with someone over a longer period of time, and sleep might be an issue we look at when we're looking at improving their overall performance.
Yeah.
But there are hypnotherapists who do specialize in these sorts of issues. And yeah, I would sort of reach out to one of them and see what they think. But it's not a case of, hey, I went to one session and I'm not fixed. This didn't work for me. It may take a few sessions, but it's something where you should see progress relatively quickly, and you should feel emotions and memories coming up really from a first session. That's pretty normal. So it should be an intense feeling. It should show up the direction at least early on. Even if it doesn't solve it, you would usually feel sort of the dial turning back somewhat. So if it's a 10 out of 10 and it's the anxiety is just sort of close to off the charts, I would expect even after a session that to be different after the session than before it. But not necessarily 1 or 2 out of 10.
Right.
But not necessarily. But I would expect some change from the real peak.
Okay. Can you speak to any of the sort of the why that this seems to work from even a like a biological perspective, physiological perspective, you know, kind of what's going on in the brain when we are going through this process? Are there still some unknowns? What can we learn about that?
I still see this as, you know, honesty and art more than a science. I tend to view it in terms of narratives that we follow.
Sure.
And I think it's more useful to do that in terms of explaining to people and then seeing these changes and them then seeing those changes as well. So the way that I would explain it is we have a process of learning fears through our childhood that's evolved to keep us safe. So you're in the jungle 10,000 years ago, there's a tiger, your mom starts screaming, grabs you and runs off. The small child then knows that tigers are scary. And when they see a tiger, they'll then have a fight or flight response for it. Now, this is really, really useful for a species that lives in lots of different places, because the threats are different everywhere, and we need to learn quickly what the threats are in the environment that we're born into. So this is something that kept us alive for many years. It's like we can pick up fears and anxieties quickly because fears and anxieties keep us alive. Now, what's happened is this process still exists in us. So you get bullied by someone at school, or you get assaulted. Your parents tell you that they don't love you and you're stupid. You know, you will still pick up these anxieties from these different situations that can happen. And what we're doing with the hypnotherapy is going back to those traumas and then looking at them from the outside through adult eyes and reframing them. So if this trauma has been triggered because you were picked on when you were 7 years old and it was terrifying for you and you used to hate going to school and you think of your school bully now and you feel sick, we would go into one of these sessions and it would bring up these memories about being 7 years old and being picked on. But as you start to see it through your adult eyes from the outside, you see a seven-year-old punching another seven-year-old. Mm. And this goes from being a life and death scenario, which is how it feels at seven, to being something that's not particularly scary and not particularly dangerous. So we can start reframing how the memories are stored. So that's then no longer viewed in the same way as you go back to that memory. It's now stored as something that isn't as traumatic as it was before. And because of that, because memories are malleable, they're plastic, they're always different every time we go back, we're removing that emotion, we're removing those triggers. So now when something happens in your everyday life that used to be triggered because you've got to stay safe, you've got to be either really aggressive because someone's acting like this, or you've got to be really anxious, you've got to be scared and get out of the way, those triggers aren't firing in the same way because there's not the same traumatic memory there. So by recovering and then changing the memory, what we're doing is changing the triggers that are then going to fire through our everyday life. And that's the sort of process that this is how I see this process working.
That's really interesting. It almost made me think of exposure therapy, you know, where you kind of go back, you know, to something that might have triggered you. You go back to the old house, the what have you, but this is like without having to get in your car and go anywhere, you're able to kind of expose yourself. And that was kind of my experience with the work that we had done together, was how real it really felt in that moment. I mean, it's really fascinating, but how much that can shift the load or the emotional load of what that kind of memory might look like, or, you know, kind of drive up or build up. So that can be really, really powerful. It makes me think too, quick question there. If we might often spend some time going backwards, and do you spend a decent amount of time going forwards for people, some of these, you know, high performance individuals, imagining what that, you know, promotion could look like, that win could look like, all of those sort of things? Is that something that you're spending a lot of time with?
Yeah. So we have the sort of regression based work, which is what I've been describing.
Sure.
And then we have a lot of work that's more future pacing. So let's say I have an athlete, a UFC fighter going to be fighting for a championship belt. We'll be future pacing that event, that fight. And not only will we sort of have the positive attitude of them seeing themselves win, but we'll also work through and see it as a struggle and them overcoming. And this is where I think a lot of people make mistakes with visualization, is that when they look to visualize an event moving forward, they think they have to visualize everything as perfection. So, you know, the boxer visualizing the fight, you know, if you tell a boxer to visualize how the fight's going to go, they're going to say, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to knock him out, I'm going to win the fight. Now, the truth is, there's two people trying to win. Probably, you know, if you go in the rain, you're going to get wet. If you go in a boxing ring, you're going to get punched. And the work that I do with players in those sorts of sports is they'll be visualizing the fight, but they'll be visualizing the back and forth and staying calm and responding effectively when things aren't going their way. So instead of, like in a UFC fight, if they're trapped on the bottom, instead of panicking because it wasn't supposed to go like this, I was supposed to win easily, it's this is now I do this, this, and this. This is the escape for this particular situation. Remain calm, remain focused, stay present, and then be able to perform at their best. So there is future pacing visualization, but I always try to ensure that we're preparing them for the worst to perform their best, rather than just this sort of preparing for perfection, which life rarely, if we get perfection, wonderful, but life rarely gives us exactly what we want in every moment.
I could see that being really useful for people with difficulty with their sleep anxiety, and also even dealing with reflexive dependence on, you know, supplements over the counter, sometimes even prescriptions to get through the night, to even future pace that, okay, there's going to be some of those nights where you are going to be up, and it's going to, we can really go into what will that look like? Because people start to often, and I was one of them, you know, heart rate's going up, and then you're just fighting the situation. So to be able to make peace with that, I could see that being really, really powerful.
Yeah. And if you can take control of that, then it becomes less scary, and then it becomes easier to sleep.
Yes.
And this is the same for everything, you know, whether it's asking out the girl or making the sales call or trading on the stock market, whatever it might be, if we can prepare ourselves for things going wrong and accept that it's just okay. You know, if you're rejected, it's fine. If you struggle to get to sleep tonight, it's fine. You're going to survive, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And what's the best next thing moving forward, rather than I need perfection. And perfection rarely comes. So you're putting yourself in a no-win situation, anxiety spikes, and then performance drops. So this is where a lot of the work is trying to create this balance in my clients. They're genuinely trying to perform at the best levels in the world of whatever it is they're doing. That's typically my market. And helping them understand that extra anxiety and pressure oftentimes is stopping them from being the very best rather than helping drive them to be the best. So that pressure helps motivate you through certain stages. But when we talk about the very top people in the world, often clarity allows for a much better performance than perfectionism and the pressure and frustration that then creates.
Mm. Also, does having that soothing voice that you have and that accent really help get people?
I mean, it's probably good for marketing here in America. Right?
Like, I think so. Yeah, it's something in America. Yeah, you had us at the accent for sure. So aside from being guided by someone like you, what are your thoughts on self-hypnosis or maybe using that in tandem with guidance? How can we think about that? Is that valuable? How do we approach that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we created an app, which is called Prime Mind. We have a sleep section in the app, and that's suggestion hypnosis. So that doesn't go through any of the negative memories and things like that. So you listen to progressive relaxation, so you get yourself in a very calm state, and then you follow the suggestions to help you release the anxiety and go to sleep. So we have a large sleep section in the app, and you can download it for free on, you know, iPhone or Android, and then there's upgrades, but you can try a lot of the sleep stuff for free anyway, I believe. So that will give everyone a very good idea of what hypnotherapy feels like and whether it works for them in that sort of process of just calming the body down and releasing the stress so they can drop off to sleep. Self-hypnosis can be very useful. Again, where it differs slightly is self-hypnosis will be similar to my app, in that you can get yourself into a deep state, you can visualize releasing anxiety and stress, and you can take control of your heart rate and things like that effectively. However, what you're not going to be able to do is the deep regression type work, because a lot of the time there's a reason why your subconscious has been holding you back from these things, and it's just very hard to see your own blind spots. So being with a therapist will allow them to help you see the blind spots that you're not aware of. I mean, I work with a hypnotherapist myself. I'm not capable of doing this to me.
Sure.
I'm great for other people, but for me, yeah. I need help. It needs to come from the other side, you know, in the same way that, you know, we work on my HRV, Molly, I work with you as a sleep coach, because again, every time you can get an expert from another area to help you, you're going to see these faster and bigger gains. So yeah, I mean, I would say try the app. Self-hypnosis is great, as is meditation. But if it's an anxiety issue, like a really strong anxiety issue, and you're unsure of where it's come from, or a frustration issue, then it's probably worth finding a hypnotherapist. I've trained a load of hypnotherapists, and you can find them on my website. Or if you look for someone in your local area, or ideally someone who specializes in sleep, then that can be a really good idea for you.
Yeah, highly recommend downloading that app. You know, it's free. You can jump right in there. Tons of resources, incredibly relaxing voice in the background. You know, it's absolutely a win-win. So absolutely check that out. And then having said that, so we've spoken a lot about sleep. Certainly you are committed on the difference that sleep can make in your life and kind of spread that ethos to the people that you work with. So one of the things that we found on the podcast is that people want to know, for people that kind of have this ability or have this awareness and some of the things that, and the mechanics that can help sleep, they want to know, what is that person doing? So we do have three questions that we ask everyone at the end where we go into just understanding a bit more about some of the things and habits that you have for your sleep. So the first one is, what does your nightly sleep routine look like right now? And I'm, you know, I'm sure this evolves and changes, but what would we see you doing in your nightly routine? And I just want to put a quick asterisk, knowing some of your stats, it's just, I've shared this with you, but you've been one of the most consistent people that I've seen. It's really a, should get some sort of award, and it's a testament to your ability to calm your mind, because you can at, like, on command, go to bed at about the same time every single night. It's amazing. I mean, people would, that I work with, so many people would kill for that ability. So having said that, what does it look like to have a nighttime routine that results in that?
I mean, we put our kids to bed at the same time every night. So I'll go and we put them down at 9 o'clock, and I'll lay on their floor whilst we play one of the sleep things from my app.
No way.
Every
I
mean, night.
I didn't realize that part. Okay.
So we listen to Daddy's Magic Music every night to get them to sleep. And by the end of that, I'm usually pretty tired. So I'm getting, you know, into my bedroom about 9:15. I do have an Oola, which you'd recommend, which is excellent. So that's already, you know, made my bed cool. The room is cool. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm just really consistent in terms of making sure we do have a TV in the room, but the TV's turned off. I mean, I'm usually asleep somewhere between 10:15 and 10:30 every single night. Like that's, and it's really is sort of within that 15-minute time period. Yeah. And I'm just very rigid on that. And then waking up in the morning, depends on the time of year, but I wake up relatively consistently, similar times most mornings as well. I mean, really, the real things has just been having a focus on keeping my mind as calm as possible in the evening. Like I say, I'm using the app, and I'm also sort of around this sort of work all day. So I'm always in a relatively calm state.
Yes.
And then the temperature has been such a huge thing for me. The Oola and then just general room temperature, it has been an absolute game changer for me to be able to sleep, you know, having less wake ups through the night and things like that. So that's really the key is the consistency for me and then using that technology.
Yes. Oh, you're speaking to such the basics and the fundamentals, and yet so the ones that so many people breeze by, and then they want the supplements and the tips and the tricks and all the things. But these are the, you know, the building blocks to getting that consistent, great sleep. So that is amazing. And do you think that spending, I loved the quote where you said that you're spending most of your day in a trance-like state, or a big portion of your day in a trance-like state, which sounds like just an incredible job. Do you feel like that has absolutely aided your ability to fall asleep with such consistency? Like, has it always been like this for you?
No, I think it's really helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, half the day I'm switching off my mind. Effectively, when you're doing hypnotherapy with people, you're going through this guided relaxation process. So as well as going through it with my client, I'm sort of feeling the same sensations as well. So I definitely think my mind being so used to getting itself into that much calmer state, I believe there's a lot of value in that. It's a bit like someone who meditates all day, I doubt monks struggle to go to sleep. And, you know, I'm in a similar sort of headspace, I would assume.
Amazing. Well, you are goals for what could be possible for, you know, fine tuning the skill set. So that's awesome. Well, the second question is, you know, a la the ability to bring ourselves right to exactly a memory or a time. If you were to bring us to your nightstand, anything in particular we might see there that's noteworthy, or it could be sort of like that proverbial nightstand of apps or, you know, ambiance, supplements, anything that we should be aware of that could help with our sleep?
I have a humidifier. I have a molecule in the room and air purifier. I have the Oola that I mentioned.
Yes.
I have the red blocker glasses that I'm not quite consistent enough with, but I use them. If we're watching a lot of TV, I'll use those. So really they're the main things, and the nasal strips to open up the nostrils as well. I probably use those 3 or 4 days a week. I can't breathe very well through my nose, and I do find that makes a difference using those. So they're another, I guess, tool from that side. And then, like I said, I'm biased. I use my own app every single night.
Yes.
So that's the app that I use.
Is that one of the more popular tracks, the sleep track?
Yeah, the sleep section gets more listens than anything else. Which is unsurprising because obviously it's so valuable for people and everyone sleeps, and some of the other things are a bit more niche. You know, we have things around stock trading or poker or sports and but everyone goes to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's one that everyone can listen to.
Oh yeah. We had the creator of The Muse on a while back and she said the same thing, that they looked at their stats and looked at all the data and that, you know, it was just overwhelming the amount of people that were using it for sleep and it wasn't part of their original intention. And yet they really aimed to build that part out. So makes a lot of sense. Okay. So then the last question is then thinking about your sleep, what has made the biggest kind of change to your sleep game or kind of the biggest aha moment around improving your sleep? What would you kind of point to on that question?
Well, you're going to love this. I mean, you've been coaching me and there's been a huge shift of the level of accountability of having a sleep coach. As you know, my focus was HRV.
Yes.
And you know, I've seen big shifts in my HRV, just putting together all of the small things and then being more consistent. And for me, certainly, I mean, I use coaches for everything, you know, sleep, business coach, hypnotherapist, you know, Reiki, energy work, stretching, massages. So, you know, I'm a strong believer in find someone who's an expert to help you and just get the gains faster rather than trying to learn everything yourself. And then having a level of accountability to a professional. So it's been a big game changer for me. So,
We didn't even
She didn't pay me to say that, everyone, but it's true. So thanks for your help, Molly.
Oh, absolutely. And you're such a cool example too, because you're someone that it's not as if your sleep wasn't quote unquote working, you know, it was working to a particular degree. And yet you were really mindful of this metric, heart rate variability. And so many people listening are tracking in some way. And if you're listening and you're not tracking, it's likely you're going to hear more about heart rate variability on this podcast, just because it's a metric of recovery and can really point to some of what's going on. Because when we're measuring with wearables throughout the course of the night, it's a nocturnal measurement of our heart rate variability, of our HRV. So we're getting an understanding of how recovered you're feeling when you wake up in the morning. So for you, it was very astute to notice that there could be different things that you could bring in, even if on the surface, you could say that everything's working with your sleep. You have that consistency, certain things are there, and yet you're like a true kind of athlete in your life or what have you, of taking it to the next level and up leveling. And then just to see the differences you've made, even in this particular period of time, during periods of time when you got travel, you've got lots of things going on where people could write that period of time off and say, well, you know, I was too disrupted. How could I work on something that you still took that area on? And it's really been very cool to see.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the things, unfortunately, because I'm working with so many high performers.
Yeah.
You start holding yourself accountable to a different level.
Yes.
So, you know, if people are talking about this sort of thing to you all day, every day, you sort of think, well, I should probably be working on this as well. So that's really what guided me in that direction. And as I say, I'm feeling much better for it. So it was worth investing my time and energy into.
Well, fantastic. So happy to hear that. And I also love that you really walk the talk on, you know, as a coach yourself, that you're also so open and eager and excited to uplevel all these various areas of your life. You know, so it's definitely an inspiration to many and certainly been inspiring for me to see what's possible there. So keep up that great work. And so for anyone listening, how could they stay in touch with you, learn more about what you're putting out there, the app, all the things?
So the app is Primed Mind. So you can find that on Google Play or you can find it on your iPhone. And we also have a podcast, the Primed Mind podcast as well. So that's just primemind.com. And there's information about the app and the podcast there. For my coaching, it's elliotrowe.com. And if you're interested in coaching, you can fill out an application. And we have a number of coaches I've trained. So even if I'm not the right coach for you, if you're not looking for someone for high performance, just fill out an application on elliotrowe.com and we'll find the right coach for you for whatever it is you're looking to work on.
Amazing. Well, very, very cool. I definitely encourage people. Hopefully this conversation has sparked some interest in even the topic in general of hypnosis, but then all these different pathways for action. You know, if you want to start small and just get the app, if you want to start looking into this yourself and seeing no matter what your price point is, what's really, I think, fantastic about what Elliot is doing. And of course, there's others in your local area and what have you, that there's different levels of commitment and financial obligation that you can bring in, but the rewards can be so, you know, priceless if you're able to remove some of these blocks that you might have been, you know, struggling with for, you know, a period of time. So absolutely, so appreciate you sharing that and just appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Hey, Molly, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.